Hello, I'm John Neff, Global Editor-in-Chief of Motor One, and welcome to Motor One This Week, the weekly podcast for Motor One. I'm here today with Senior Editor Jeff Perez. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good. How are you, John?
Very good. And we actually haven't had an episode for a couple weeks, so there's some good stuff to talk about, particularly because last week was the Chicago Auto Show. And I think you and I both know in any other year, the Chicago Auto Show would not be a big deal. But they moved the Detroit Auto Show, which is usually in January. They moved that to June this year. So I think the Chicago Auto Show benefited from that. And there were some interesting debuts or things happening around it. We're going to talk about one vehicle that really, I think, got a lot of attention in Chicago. But before that, we have another car debuting this week that by the time this episode airs will have debuted, although it hasn't yet, but we can talk about it because we know all about it. So why don't you tell us about that one first?
Yeah, so when we spoke to Toyota, I guess last year when the Supra came out, they told us that there would be no four-cylinder Supra in the U.S. But apparently Toyota lied, because there is going to be a four-cylinder Supra.
They were very clear with us when the Supra debuted.
I mean, we
wrote articles about it, like no four-cylinder Supra.
Yeah, it's odd. But I guess, I don't know, maybe it was the demand. Maybe they just felt like they could fill a little bit of space between the 86 and the current six-cylinder. So,
and yep. You've got the BMW Z4, which, you know, is basically the same car that offers a four-cylinder turbo,
right,
too.
Exactly. So yeah, four-cylinder Supra is happening this week. It'll be right before Daytona, which is the Supra's inaugural NASCAR race.
Which is crazy. I mean, where I didn't mean to go into a NASCAR diversion, but it's kind of funny and crazy.
It is.
That there's going to be a Supra in NASCAR. I can't wait to see how. I mean, it has no relation whatsoever to the road car, as no NASCAR race car does, but it's still fun to see them put that car there instead of the Camry, which is what
for
they
sure
have been using.
But yeah, so the four-cylinder Supra gets the same turbo 2-liter from the Z4, which is, you know, BMW engine, just like the inline six, 255 horsepower, 295 pound-feet of torque, 8-speed automatic. And I think the big, like, deal with this is that it's 200 pounds lighter than the inline six version.
So 200 pounds off, that's a lot of weight. What does the weight come down to?
3181 is the exact number. It's right in between the 86 and the six cylinder, essentially.
They're kind of filling the white space in between their vehicles.
Right.
I think you and I have already talked about this with the rest of the Motor One editors, that this car sounds awesome. It'll be lighter. The handling will probably be sharper, and it'll be cheaper. We know it will be cheaper to some degree, but we do
right
not know to what degree, right?
Yeah, that's the big question, because the current Supra, the 2020 model, starts at $49,900, which is, I think, pretty reasonable for that car. And
with the V6.
With the V6, right.
Right.
Now, the V6 is getting updated, too, so that will probably get a price hike. So I don't know. I'm thinking $40,000 for the four-cylinder, which I think might be like...
I think that's a little wishful thinking on your part,
because
you actually want to buy it.
Yes, that also.
I think it's probably more likely. I mean, look, whenever you're trying to guess what the price of a car is that you actually want, it's probably safe to, like, you know, take your guess and add $5,000. Like, yeah. I honestly think it'll be like 43, 45,
yeah,
maybe.
That's a tough sell, though, for that car at 43.
They don't seem super interested in selling like tens of thousands of them. I think mm-hmm. it's kind of like a mid-level halo car,
right?
So I think they want to make their money back, and BMW does too. So it would be amazing if it started at 39, even for a stripper model. But what other choices in the class are there?
You can get a nice EcoBoost Mustang with the performance pack and the handling pack for I don't know, mid-40s, low-40s, and then you can get a Turbo Camaro 1LE for high-30s, low-40s. Both really great cars, and I think those would be like the closest competitors. Then you could also look at like the four-cylinder F-Type and the Cayman, which are also really close. I think the Supra's probably going to fall somewhere in between there, just comparably. But I don't know, that segment's pretty good, so the Supra's got to be priced well, and it's got to bring a lot to the table.
Yeah. Like I said, it will have debuted by the time this episode airs. But I'm not sure if they'll release the pricing at the same time. So we may have to wait a little while for that. But to me, sounds like an awesome car. Just it is all going to come down to the cost. Next, I want to move on to the other end of the spectrum, the supercar end, because for our coverage of the Chicago Auto Show, by far the most popular car we wrote about was the new Ford GT Liquid Carbon Edition. And I find that particularly interesting because the Ford GT has now been around a few years, and Ford has even had a couple special editions of it. This is another one of those for the 2020 model year. And I'm amazed at how much they actually put into this. It's not just a different look. For one thing, the obvious thing is its name, Liquid Carbon Edition. The whole body is bare carbon fiber, and it's gorgeous. I mean, yes, bare carbon fiber is pretty by itself, but they have masterfully put this together. If you look at the body panels, they have done all the work to make sure the carbon weave lines up everywhere. And I believe someone asked Ford about the build process, and it actually takes 3 weeks to put the Liquid Carbon Edition GT together compared to 1 week for a regular Ford GT. So that tells you just how much goes into the body alone. But even for they could have stopped there, and I think everyone would have been happy. It would have probably gotten as much attention. But for 2020, they have got more power out of the engine. It's up 13 horsepower to 660. The engine has a new calibration, so the torque curve is broader. There's upgraded pistons and ignition coils in the engine. They did a couple minor aero changes to the flying buttresses in the back. To make improvements, larger intercoolers, a new exhaust. I mean, they have made material upgrades to this car when they don't have to. It is a supremely limited edition car. There's only a very small few of the build slots left for the whole thing that they're going to produce all time, not just for this year. But they went that far. I mean, that's unusual, right?
It is. And I think it's super cool. Like, this is a very interesting take on a car that's already pretty cool. Just the exposed carbon fiber is such an interesting detail that not a lot of companies do. Even though I sort of have a mixed, like, a love-hate relationship with it, because to us, and I think we talked about this a little bit with the Acura, the PMC editions that they're building, mm-hmm. Yep. those are super cool, right? On paper, they're building these in the NSX factory. They're hand building all of them. They're awesome from a technical standpoint. But when you show this to the consumer, do they care? Like, I don't know if the bare carbon look is like a big thing with consumers. I think, remember, to car nerds, it's cool.
For the Ford GT, I don't think there are consumers so much as there are investors, right? Yeah. And I think that will probably, I mean, these will, you know, sit up in some collection and maybe be brought out and gawked at and driven around a track once in a while. I think a lot of companies don't attempt it because it is so hard to do. It's not just, you know, like we said, they lined up the weave and there's no paint to hide imperfections, right? So it's all right there. And it has to be done very painstakingly and with an extremely high attention to detail. So it works here. I think you're right, though, with the Acuras, with the PMC editions. Like, if you know what they are, they're cool. But you would have no way of knowing just by looking at them. If a Liquid Carbon drove by, you would instantly know, like,
right.
That's more than just a regular GT.
And I do appreciate that Ford is, like, keeping it fresh rather than just sort of letting it die on the vine, like a lot of companies do, where they just introduce a new supercar and then they're like, here you go, let's just let it roll for 10 years, you know, and not do anything interesting. So I think that's cool from that standpoint.
I think that's amazing, especially because I just think about what running a car company would be like, and when you're dividing up your budget to do certain things, to just find any money to make this car even better than it was last year or the year before, when, like I said, you really don't have to do anything. The GT has, like, served its purpose. It's done its work. It's been a halo car. It's been a marketing home run. It's won Le Mans. They didn't have to do anything, and instead they come out with not only a better looking one, a better kind of like better crafted one in terms of how it's built, but also there's the performance upgrades that are real and substantial. So yeah, kudos to Ford. All right. So we'd love to hear what you think about not only the Ford GT, but our coverage of the Chicago Auto Show. There was a good number of other cars there, but like I said, this one definitely got the lion's share of the attention. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at MotorOneCom, where we'll keep talking about this car and many others. And of course, visit our website, MotorOne.com, where you can find us in the comments. And before we take a break, I want to remind everyone that you can get our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, plus wherever else you find your podcasts. So please hit the subscribe button so that you get our episodes every week. All right, we're back, and I want to move on to another really, really big debut in the last week, and it's the 2021 Cadillac Escalade, completely redesigned, and this is the last of the big GM SUVs to debut. We already got the Tahoe, we got the Yukon, and now we're on to the Escalade. So, Jeff, tell us what's up with the new Escalade.
Yeah, so the new Escalade obviously showed up in Chicago. Visually, I would say it's definitely an improvement over the last one, but I think the really important stuff is sort of underneath and inside, because this is the first Escalade with an independent rear suspension, and it gets Super Cruise, which I think this is the only car that Cadillac sells with Super Cruise at the moment, because yeah, the CT6 is gone.
Exactly, which is kind of crazy for such a big piece of tech they were touting a few years ago.
Right.
This will be the only one for now, but they say it's going to come to like every single vehicle within 2 years.
Yeah. The Escalade also gets a huge 38-inch OLED screen, a bunch of speakers, a bunch of cup holders. If you look at the pictures on the site, it looks like such an upgrade. Like, the interior of this car is so nice. I think it'll be good.
The screen isn't like... It's not all one screen. It's like broken up into three screens, but it's like 38 inches across. And a neat detail that I would notice, because I'm kind of a TV nerd, it's an OLED screen. So it's going to, the colors and particularly the blacks are going to look much better than I think we're used to seeing in cars. And yeah, I mean, it has now one of the screens alone is 16.9 inches, which might be one of the biggest in the world of any car. It's right up there, if not the largest.
Yeah, I think this and the Taycan have the two biggest screens.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously every automaker is going more and more towards screens, and they look really, really cool in the Escalade. So like from a wow factor, I think the interior has definitely got it. Looking at the exterior, I think they played it kind of safe. The Escalade has always been so big and bold, and this one's kind of just looks like what you would kind of expect looking at all their other cars in the lineup.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to go up against like the Lincoln Navigator and even the X7 and the GLS to some extent. Like, I think those three cars are bolder looking than this, even though I think the Escalade looks really clean and they're using that design language that they sort of carried over from the CT6, or excuse me, the XT6. I think it'll be good. I think it'll do well.
Yeah, I think that association with the XT6, which is Cadillac's kind of three-row crossover as opposed to the Escalade, which is its three-row SUV, I think the XT6 design is actually kind of boring for the class.
Yeah.
And it feels like that kind of bled into the Escalade, where, yeah, it looks like a little bit bigger XT6, and that's kind of boring. And, yeah, in a segment where Lincoln is currently kind of knocking it out of the park in terms of design and craftsmanship and materials, I was hoping for a little more from Cadillac, but at the same time, I bet they did enough. I bet they did enough to keep the Escalade ball rolling.
I think so.
Yeah, which is really all they have to do.
Yeah, it's a strong name. That SUV has been really strong for them for a few years. So
honestly, I don't think there'd be a Cadillac right now if it wasn't for the Escalade.
Exactly.
All right, well, moving on, let's talk about another big GM vehicle, the Hummer EV. So this vehicle kind of coincided with the Super Bowl, because GM had a Super Bowl commercial that touted it, or kind of semi-revealed it. And to be clear, they have announced that this will be a GMC vehicle, so it'll go under the GMC brand, but it'll be called the Hummer EV, And if you're not confused enough already, it'll be a pickup truck. So there's a lot of things going on here. And GM did not reveal what it will look like, although they did release a teaser of kind of the grill from Head On. So we, of course, got right to business and had our artists come up with a rendering of what it could look like. But we have no idea if we're right. So right.
Well, I actually, so I said this to some of our writers that GMC specifically in the press release said it was a truck, not a pickup. And I know that might sound like a little silly, but GMC uses the word truck to describe all of its vehicles, even its crossovers. So part of me is, I think this might be like wishful thinking that it won't be just a pure pickup, that it'll be some weird version of that. What was that concept we saw? The XT, the Hummer XT concept?
Yeah, there was an old Hummer concept that kind of had like a fastback roof.
Right, something like that. That's what I'm hoping. But I think it'll probably just be a traditional pickup.
I don't think it's wishful thinking at all. I actually think you are onto something, because if you look at the segment of electric pickup trucks is exploding with companies promising to build an electric pickup. And of course, we had the Tesla Cybertruck debut, and the Tesla Cybertruck is anything but a normal pickup truck. And I think if GM were smart, they would look at that and say, you know, Tesla, that people responded very well to that. And I don't think a normal pickup is going to do it. Like, we gotta do something a little different. So right. I don't think it's wishful thinking. That said, I think you're giving GM a lot of credit.
That's also very true.
Yeah, for like reading the tea leaves. And so for that reason, I expect it to be a normal pickup. But
yeah.
Like I said, there's so many companies promising an electric pickup, and they're throwing out specs willy-nilly. So I'll give you the Hummer EV specs. They're saying 1,000 horsepower, and they say 11,500 pound-feet of torque, but they're measuring that at the axle rather than the way torque is usually measured, so it's not really going to be that much. Mm-hmm. They're saying 60 miles per hour in 3.0 seconds, which seems to be the what you have to say if you're making an electric pickup truck. That'll do 0 to 60 in 3 seconds or under. Did they make a mention of range yet?
I don't think they did. I think there was rumors that it's a tri-motor setup.
It's a tri-motor, and that's, again, going back to the Cybertruck. The Cybertruck will have a tri-motor option with the largest battery, where it'll get 400 to 500 miles of range. Mm-hmm. That's honestly what really, just talking about electric pickups in general, I don't know why so many both startups and legacy automakers are rushing to announce that they are going to have electric pickups. I don't know what industry analysis they're reading that says they have to be in this space. What I like about it is that an electric pickup just is a larger vehicle that can fit a larger battery. And if you engineer it right, we're going to see ranges above 300 to 400, maybe even 500, because these things can carry the weight of a large battery.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool, because that makes for I think, better adoption of electric vehicles.
Well, I would say to that point, I think that's sort of how it started, right? Companies realizing that they could shove so many batteries and huge electric motors into trucks specifically, even though it might not be like the obvious market, because in my head, I would think crossovers would be like the next step, right, in terms of electrification. But it's kind of interesting how it's developed because of that. So companies everywhere, even I think today we even reported on the Fisker electric pickup, which they're moving forward on. So I think it's interesting, and I think there's going to be a lot of really good competition only if they actually come to market, because a lot of these are really rough and not.
Yeah, I mean, having gone through the painful process of watching so many other EVs come to market, seeing the pain that Tesla went through just trying to figure out how to mass produce EVs, like, you can say anything you want. This is all vaporware, even from the traditional legacy automakers who, you know, we should be able to trust. They can do what they say. Mm-hmm. This is all vaporware until somebody puts not only a car together, but starts selling them.
Right.
So I think it's interesting because the last 5 to 10 years that we've had electric vehicles, they've all been these tiny little compliance cars, you know, like the Fiat 500e and the e-Golf and all these things. And all of a sudden, the needle has flung to the opposite end where we're going to have these hulking trucks and huge vehicles with huge batteries. And I think that, again, it's interesting to analyze why so many of these automakers think that that's the segment to go in. I hope it's more than just that they look at the U.S. market and they see that the most popular vehicles sold are trucks, so that they need to make an electric truck, because it's definitely not that simple.
I mean,
truck people won't so easily just move over and buy an electric
truck. You'd be surprised at how some companies think like that. But I tend to agree with you that I think it has to be more than that.
I don't think I read or I watched a video of an industry expert talking about how he doesn't think the Cybertruck's competition is meant to be the F-150 or the electric F-150. Mm-hmm. That Tesla isn't trying to convert truck people.
Right.
They're trying to convert adventure people. And those are people buying Wranglers and Gladiators. So I thought that was a really interesting point, that I think Jeep might be more the target of a Cybertruck than Ford, GM, or Ram.
Yeah, I think Rivian sort of falls into that category too. I don't know if they're going to sway F-150 buyers or traditional truck buyers, but I think they'll have a good grasp on what younger, people that want Jeeps will, want in their vehicles. And I think that the Rivian sort of ticks all those boxes.
Yeah. And coming back to the Hummer EV, I think, as always, price will be a super important factor. You've got Rivian saying theirs was going to start at $70,000. Mm-hmm. But then Tesla saying that the Cybertruck would max out at $70,000 and start at $40,000. That pressured Rivian to say that they would sell their truck for less than what they said. So now you've got the Hummer EV coming, and where are the traditional automakers going to price these things when they can get away with selling a gas truck for $70,000?
I think they're going to try. I think they're going to aim high. I think it's going to be in the high 60s or even low 70s.
Which again, even though Tesla has a track record of making EVs and even making affordable ones. Mm-hmm. Their pricing that they announced for the Cybertruck from $40,000 to $70,000 is so aggressive. I can't believe it until they actually start selling them for those amounts, because right now I think every other automaker working on an electric pickup truck is like, how are they going to, there's no way they can sell a 300 to 500 mile range electric truck for that much.
Right.
But we're going to get the Hummer brand back, which is, like I said, that's just the cognitive dissonance I have looking at an EV pickup with a Hummer name on it.
Are we getting the Hummer brand back though? Because we're not really. It's a GMC.
Right. That's what makes it even weirder.
I don't like that. They should have gone all in.
It's just so convoluted. It's so complicated.
I know.
Again, I think they looked at the Mustang Mach-E and they said, oh, look, Ford attached their electric vehicle to a really popular, evocative brand, the Mustang, and we should do that too. And it's like, okay, you did that, but then you muddied it all up by calling it a GMC Hummer EV.
Right.
It just gets more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But more EV pickup trucks, the better, as far as I'm concerned. I can't wait till they start arriving. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at NotABoatCaptain, and you can follow me at John_M_Neff. Jeff, thanks for joining me on the podcast this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
All right, and thank you all out there for listening, and we'll see you next week.